So when we give our anumodana, we are aware of what we are rejoicing in. And today we're rejoicing in a lot of goodness and good qualities. We have the Venerable Sangha who've gathered together. Myself and Venerable Ajahn Sangchai have come from Sydney. There's monks from Adelaide, Bodhipala from Melbourne, Bodhiwana Monastery, gathered here in Queensland for this. And so this is our kindness and harmony in the Sangha. So this is something very rare, and the Buddha said that this is one thing that arises for the benefit and happiness and welfare of the people, and that is the harmony in the Sangha. And this harmony gives a lot of happiness to those who keep it. So within us, we had a few nice discussions last night and in the morning between the Sangha. And for those who support the Sangha, who are in harmony, they also gain happiness. So this is also quite rare. You can remember where we are in Queensland, out here in a non-Buddhist country, and can gather together like this is very, very rare. Just a few days ago, we had an Australian man who came to our monastery, and he was recollecting of this tradition, the Ajahn Chah tradition, or the tradition that came all the way from the time of the Buddha, in an unbroken lineage, and seeing the monks who had gone forth, renounced in this tradition. And when he recollected this, remembered this, he broke down in tears to the point where the other Thai ladies in the kitchen were wondering what was going on, you know, what we were saying. But he was doing so out of joy and happiness. And so that is one thing. It brings joy when we recollect the Sangha and the harmony there. And the Buddha said that the good monks who rely dependent on the village and the town, then the people there will gain great merit in three things. And that is great merit in body, in speech, and in mind. So we can see this here today in terms of body, in terms of actions. You've done a lot of dana. You've contributed to the facilities here, the monastery. You've given the dana, the meal offerings, out of your faith and generosity. There's many people who have been helping out as well. I saw all day yesterday there were people putting up parking and setting out chairs and cleaning up all day. So that's a generous act that one does, and volunteers, and a lot of merit. Made offerings here just then. In terms of speech, a lot of goodness in terms of your chanting, your praises to the Buddha, Dhamma Sangha. You've said sadhu when you've seen some goodness that other people have done. And maybe you've given some encouragement to other people around here as well with your kind words. And so this is all wholesome, and this is all good merit. And all your thoughts, you've obviously have a lot of good intentions to this monastery, the place, the monks, and all the people that come here. You wish them well and to grow in Dhamma, and you wish to support and give them encouragement. And so all this kindness, generosity, faith is a lot of merit in the mind, or by way of the mind and all your good thoughts. And so this is something to rejoice in. Some people come to me and they say, oh, I kind of like the smaller events better. One man, Italian man, he said, I went to one ceremony and there wasn't even any room to bow. I think this is not for me at all. And so in a way it's true. There's a lot of more people coming together, a lot more going on, maybe even more noise and You need to do a lot more to accommodate for a big group like this. But we can see the great goodness that arises here like this when we do this in harmony. My teacher, Venerable Ajahn Anand, he organizes now meditation retreats for 7 days or 8 days, 3 times a year now. And he will purposely have it so that these meditation retreats fall on the Katina ceremony, where there's maybe 1,000 people coming, lots of monks, or his birthday celebration, which again, many hundreds of people from all around Thailand and maybe overseas even, many monks coming. So he never saw that it was contradictory to meditation. He just saw it as you can meditate and you gain peace and the merit and goodness from that, and you can also join and do a big event in harmony and you also get the merit from that. So for these events, for these meditation retreats, people would come from all around, like Malaysia, Singapore, Australia, Europe, to come together. And one retreat, he would have me put up a list. And in the list, there would be a certain chore that all the group meditations group had to do together. So one of them was like cleaning all the windows in the big hall. And windows there are a lot more dirty than here. You have to take down the fly screens and scrub them and spray them down, dry them, put them back, wipe all the seals, all the insects and spiders. And so it was a big job to do. But he would have them do that, and he would gather them together. And all these people from all around would have to gather and do something in harmony, and do it with a lot of kindness, a lot of self-sacrifice. They had to have a lot of good intentions and faith and willing to volunteer in that way. And they would get a lot of goodness from that. At the end, at the least, they'd have clean windows. There'd be something concrete there that they had done. And Venerable Ajahn Anand saw that just doing something as a group in harmony can be beneficial to one's meditation, one's peace, and just these good feelings in the group. One really has to overcome any sort of fault finding for other people around and really have good wishes for them. So some people would say, oh, maybe meditation retreat shouldn't have those chores, but my teacher, he never saw it in that way. And in a way, the monastery is something similar because it's something big. It's like a big project that one person can't possibly do. It requires sacrifice, support, the generosity, the kindness from many, many people from many, many nationalities all coming together. Not just the people who start and build this place, but the people who maintain it. They have to keep it going, you know, cleaning every day or supporting the monks every day, making all the activities such as this. But there also has to be those that consider the future as well for a growing number of people coming. They have to be accommodated so they can practice Dhamma in a comfortable and in a good way. So all this is takes a lot of harmony, and this is why my teacher would frequently emphasize harmony. I remember on one meditation retreat, there was this organizer, and this organizer, he was from Singapore, I think, and he took it upon himself to do the rubbish. And so he would go to the kitchen, pack up all the big rubbish bags, throw it in, tie it up, and he'd have to put it in a cart and then cart it down to the central rubbish area, and then a truck would later come and pick it up. So he would do this every day, just quietly, taking it on as his duty to do. I wasn't told to do it. But he, my teacher, noticed this, and he got someone to take a photo of this man who was pushing the rubbish down. And then he gave me this and said to write on it, no one may see the good deeds you do, but the devas rejoice. The devas are heavenly beings, they rejoice. And so I gave it to him. And I don't know if there's a deeper meaning to the inscription or the words there, but I know that he was very uplifted or joyous that the teacher had recognized just something small that he had done, this sort of self-sacrifice. And he was encouraged then to keep going and to do more. And so this is, we can say, something maybe difficult to do, taking out the rubbish. I know you all do it at home, but maybe that's your own rubbish, much easier to do. But maybe if it's someone else's rubbish or a public place, people tend to maybe look down on it, or it's something low or dirty to do. But this man, you could see, he was training himself, going against the grain, putting down any selfishness, any sense of self, and doing it for the benefit of others. I mean, as an organizer, he can tell others, oh, do that, delegate to others. But he took it on himself to do. And you could say that that was recognized by the teacher, or we can say that the devas, the divine beings, would recognize this type of goodness or this type of person that is training, putting in effort to develop themselves, going against the grain, going against the defilements. Good people or even noble beings, they recognize this and they rejoice. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's one who's really putting in some effort into the practice. And so we can rejoice in this. Or you may hear sometimes Venerable Ajahn Dhammasiha will praise some of the people here. I heard there's someone who had a restaurant and they were selling alcohol, and they had to, or they decided to stop that because they weren't comfortable with that anymore. And even though other people may have criticized that, they knew that was for their benefit, and for their benefit in their spiritual practice. And so this is how it is. Good people praise things like this. Ones who's practicing, one who's developing goodness. Even if the world criticizes and looks down on it, we ourselves should know what is good, what is beneficial for our hearts and our spiritual development. We were talking just yesterday with Venerable Ajahn Den here about his life when he ordained in Wat Nongpa Phong with Lumpo Liam, who has visited here before. And he said he was there 14 years, practicing there in the beginning years continuously. And we asked, oh, how was it? And he said, oh, it was tough. I just have to keep going against the grain, keep going against my desires, my wants, my likes, constantly. In Thai, it's like we're scraping. It's like you're using some sandpaper to make it smooth. It's very abrasive. It's kind of like that type of practice. And we were like, oh, wow, that's really good. That's how it should be. That's praiseworthy. You know, if he said, oh, I was just comfortable and it was really easy, maybe we wouldn't be so praiseworthy. But that's how it is when we're training and practicing ourselves. It's like we're going against the stream a bit, and we all have to do that. And this mind of ours is what is important, or very important. And one who develops and is able to train their mind will literally change their whole world. Their whole world will get better. There's one venerable teacher, we call him Venerable Ajahn Mahabua, or Lung Ta as he's known. He's a most renowned disciple of Venerable Ajahn Mun. He said that people think the world is so chaotic because of that and this situation going on. There's all these problems and troubles. But he said, actually, the world is in the heart. And so if one thinks the world is chaotic and troubled, it's because the heart is chaotic and troubled. And he said, it's as if like a factory that's been open and just never shuts. And this is what it is. It creates this chaos and troubles and problems and confusion. But he said that one who wants to end this chaos in the world must do it in the heart. They must come back to the heart, because this is where it creates, everything is created right here. And so we have to look at the heart. And the only way to do it is through Dhamma practice and through training oneself. There's no other way that one will improve the world except for training oneself in Dhamma practice, developing the Dhamma. So this is what we, you can say, emphasize the mind. And this is like we're bringing more mindfulness to whatever arises. In the mind, we're bringing more mindfulness and wisdom to all our speech, our actions, our mind and thoughts, keeping it wholesome and good, or the bad and unwholesome body, speech and mind, we abandon that. We have enough mindfulness and wisdom to do that. So we're developing in many good qualities like that. So we can, in the beginning, we can reduce that chaos and troubles that come up from the heart. And in its place is a lot of goodness, merit, happiness, peace. And this is something we can do. And it's like then the factory is kind of producing goodness and ease and merit. So this is part of the practice. So we should give importance then to this. And we can say that when we're giving our efforts in this practice, we have to also have a goal and our intentions set right. These intentions mean that we know where we're heading, just like we need a plan, we need to set a goal. And this goal is Nibbana. So everything we do, all this goodness, even though we may enjoy a lot of happiness and ease, we're doing it for Nibbana, for the cessation of all suffering. And this we can kind of compare to a young elephant who's chained up in the zoo. This zoo has put this elephant there since a baby, chained it up. And no matter how much this elephant wants to escape, it just can't because it's chained up. But later on, this elephant grows up, gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it doesn't seek to escape anymore. And so later on, they just put a little rope on it. And then the elephant doesn't try to escape. They just take off the rope. They don't even need a rope anymore. And this is kind of like someone who maybe has enjoyment or contentment, you could say, or maybe not contentment. Maybe they sort of settle for all the happiness and ease that they've developed in their life. Maybe the sensual indulgence and pleasures, and maybe that's good enough for them. That's because they don't see the drawbacks of what we're in, or the drawbacks, you could say, of that zoo. They don't seek freedom from it anymore. Maybe the elephant's there and it's getting fed every day, and many people come and praise it and put it up and say they're really good, and it doesn't seek to escape anymore. And maybe this is like we have everything going for us. The elephant is big already. You have a lot of goodness going for you. You've made a lot of merit. You have access to the teachings of the Buddha. Maybe you have a lot of good qualities and merit you've built up. Maybe you have all the chanting books. You have all the subscriptions to all the Dhamma talks and You know, you have them already, the books in the library, but one has to use it in order to practice to get to that ending of suffering or nibbana. And that's like having that intention or seeing the drawbacks in what we are facing now. Drawbacks and dangers, we have to look at it like it is a danger. So one story my teacher will tell is when Venerable Ajahn Chah was a younger monk, he had a teacher called Lumpu Ginari. And Lumpu Ginari was a very, just teach in a very short, direct way. And there was one time that Ajahn Chah wanted to go home to visit his parents because he hadn't visited them for a long time. And so he said, Lumpu Ginari said to Ajahn Chah, Tan Cha, whatever you long for, that thing will bring you harm. And so that's all he said. Whatever you long for or you miss, that thing will bring you harm. And so Ajahn Chah went away and he contemplated this. And then he realized that, oh, if I long and miss for my parents, then they can harm me. Not physically harm, but because we attach and cling onto that thing that we long and love for, then that thing brings us harm. And that's a type of danger that comes from our attachments and clinging, longing for. And this is the drawbacks we have to see. Whatever it is can bring us harm, no matter if it's something very, very good. Even our dana, even our some of our practice, if we hold on to that, we take it as a self, oh, I'm so good, then that can bring us harm. And so we have to see the drawbacks of this, and we see that everything we're doing is for nibbana, for that freedom from suffering. And so we were talking before about one of the teachings of Poliam as well. He would also give very short teachings. And Venerable Ajahn then said one teaching of Ajahn Chah's, Lumpur Liam's was that he said, you have to prepare yourself. And so he said that last night, and I went back to think about it, and I said, I don't really know what that means. So I asked him again this morning, saying, well, what was that teaching really meaning? And he said, you have to be prepared in every way. And in, like, if you're going traveling, you need to be prepared, all your things, or your maybe passport, your ticket, ready, your money, everything, so you can go. And then you're prepared. And he said, so if we take the example of this elephant, maybe it needs to be prepared for what it needs to do. If it wants to escape, then it needs to have that intention to go, to leave, and it needs the proper spiritual qualities, the proper faculties in order to be able to do that. And so let us be prepared and to keep developing in all this goodness and all your spiritual qualities so that all this goodness will bring you happiness. Happiness in this life, happiness in the next life, and the ultimate happiness of Nibbana.
Andamayam dhammakataya sadhukaram dadamasi sadhukaram.